Turning once again to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Considering this evening, as we did this morning, those verses 13 and 14, we were actually considering different aspects of the whole portion of Scripture we read, especially in relation to the message of the angel of the Lord, and how the angel's activity and appearance related so closely to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ when the Word was made flesh. This morning, of course, we considered the appearance of the angel. It was a humbling appearance because the angel of the Lord left glory from standing before the throne of God, because the angel of the Lord is indeed described as God's angel, His angel. He stood before the throne in heaven, awaiting the command of God to carry out those commands and run on those errands. And from standing before the throne of God, we find the angel of the Lord this morning in a field amongst humble shepherds. And that simply pointed our gaze away to Christ, who's coming into the world. Was a coming, was marked by humility. It was also an honoring appearance because no one else had been told about the Savior's birth. Only Mary and Joseph knew at this time. Others were not interested because they had gone to an inn. But there was no room in the end. And it is so sad that it's the same today. How many interested in the birth of Christ? Even at this time when there is such emphasis placed upon His coming into the world. For many, of course, it's an excuse for partying and drinking. But to those who love the Lord, it's very special and very precious. And the shepherds were honored when no one else was told. The shepherds were the first to know about the Savior's coming into the world. And we pointed out, asked the question, why shepherds? Why not princes and rulers? Why not the scribes and Pharisees? And we considered this morning that the angel appeared unto shepherds because they had come to tell the shepherds about a shepherd. One who would be the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd. He gave His life for the sheep, and the one whom we are able to join our voices with David and say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then we noted the hour of the appearance. Again, the hour of the appearance of the angel of the Lord prompted us to ask the question, why did the angel of the Lord appear at night? Why was the news brought to the disciple or to the shepherd at night? Why not during the day? Once more, this pointed to Christ. Because the Lord Jesus came in to a world that was shrouded in the night of sin and wickedness and iniquity. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, came into the world to shine forth His light. Men and women, ever since then, who lived in the darkness of their sin, were brought savingly to Christ and brought into the light. Even the Lord Jesus. That led us on then to consider the announcement by the angel. And we just got this morning to the message. And we looked at the message that was delivered by the angel. And the angel said unto the shepherds, fear not, verse 10. And these first words of the angel of the Lord once more pointed to Christ. Because we noted that it was a peaceful message or a message of peace, because the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, fear not, there's no need to be afraid. And of course, the Lord Jesus is the man of peace, the God of peace, and he came on a mission of peace with a message of peace to guide our feet into the way of peace, Luke 1, verse 79. He came to show men that if peace was to be found and to be had and experienced, then it would only be found in Jesus Christ. The Lord himself said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, ye might have peace. And the Lord again said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. The world giveth, give I unto you. The world doesn't know anything about this peace. It's the peace that Christ gives. It's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That leads us now to consider this evening from this message. It was a peaceful message. It was a personal message. The angel of the Lord was very personal in delivering this message. For you look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so this was a personal message delivered to the shepherds by the angel of the Lord. But he didn't finish there or stop there. In the next verse, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And again in verse 12, it's emphasized as a personal message. For this shall be a sign unto you. Three times we have the word you, as the angel directed his words to the shepherds. And just as the message was applied personally to the shepherds, so the message of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world is a message that can be applied personally to every heart and to every hearer. It is a message for all of mankind. As we read in verse 10, again, the angel of the Lord said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's a message that must go out to all people. That's why our missionaries go. That's why the Lord sent the apostles forth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This is a message to all people. And whether the message is preached in Kenya or Spain or Jamaica or Cameroon, wherever, whoever brings the message can apply that message personally to the individual and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners just like them. And to all people, the message is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what Paul said, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Why did he come into the world? To save. And then he goes on to say, of whom I am chief. That's why he came into the world, to save sinners. And that's the message we can give to individuals, to men and women and children, to boys and girls. It's a personal message. It can be applied to the heart. And here the angel of the Lord said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings." And my, when you see someone who's given over to drink, and he can't break the chains that bind him to that awful lifestyle. My, we can go to that drunkard and say, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, because I can tell you about a Savior who is Christ the Lord." We can do the same with the drug addict. We can do the same with the one addicted to gambling. Whatever the person's need, a need that they cannot meet themselves, a way of life that they cannot change themselves, chains that they cannot break themselves, we can go with this message and say, "Here's a message for you. There's a word for you." It is a message of great joy. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save men and women just like you. So we see that it is a peaceful message, a personal message. Then we notice it's a particular message. This message that the angel of the Lord delivered. The angel said unto them, verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." There's the particular message. It was a message of good tidings. It's interesting that the angel spoke those words, good tidings. The angel of the Lord, this particular angel that we give particular attention to this morning, this angel of the Lord had often been employed in good tidings to individuals. For example, Judges 6 and verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon. The angel of the Lord had good tidings for Gideon, because the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Well, that was good tidings. It's good to know that we have the Lord with us wherever we go. And then again, Judges 13 and verse 3. There we read, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." That was good tidings. And the angel of the Lord was employed to carry those good tidings. Who was the woman? The woman was Manoah's wife. The woman became the mother of Samson. Good tidings, which he brought to the shepherds, was the greatest message ever told. Because the angel of the Lord came to the shepherds to speak about another woman and about another son. Greatest son ever born came to tell the shepherds about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. In fact, this angel was the first individual to preach the gospel. I know the Gospels throughout the Old Testament. But as far as delivering the Gospel, since Christ came into the world, that privilege was given to the angel. Because the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings." That's what the Gospel means. The word Gospel means good tidings. Fear not, for behold, I bring you the Gospel. That's what the angel did then. Brought good tidings, good news to the shepherds. So the first gospel message was delivered by an angel. Now, angel means messenger. The angel of the Lord was God's messenger, as all other angels are. A minister is God's messenger. A pastor is God's messenger. And the minister is given the message from the Lord to deliver. And the message about the Savior is a message that every true minister of the gospel loves to deliver. For the message about a Savior from sin is good news. That is good news. Good news for the lost and the dying. Good news for those down in sin. Good news for those that are bound and chained by sin. It's good news. It's a message the preacher loves to preach. Message about a Savior who is able to save from all sin. That's good news. That's good tidings. A Savior who is able to lift out of the deepest mire of sin. A message about a Savior who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. That's the gospel. The message about a Savior who will receive all comers. Or receive all comers. That's good news for those who feel they are so far down in sin and so far away from God, they will never find acceptance with God. I met a woman one night after a gospel meeting who was like that. She indicated she would like to be saved. And as we spoke to her about salvation, and she said, the Lord could not save me. The Lord will not accept me. I said, why? Says, my husband is a drunkard. My husband has drunk himself through three farms. And we have nothing. And she felt the weight and the shame of all that had taken place in her home. Of course, we were able to point out to her that the Word of God declares, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And that dear woman got saved that night. Because we were able to give her the good news. The good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's our message. It's the message that the angel delivered, and it's the message that I and many other messengers from the Lord love to deliver. His only righteousness I show, his saving truth proclaim, 'tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name, preach unto all, and cry in death, behold behold the Lamb. That's good news. And that's what the angel delivered. Good news to the shepherds. Good news to the world. So regarding the announcement, we have looked at the message. Next, we want to consider the Messiah. Fear not, verse 10, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. It shall be to all people. How true it is. The Lord Jesus Christ brings joy to the heart of all those who receive him. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. Blessed is the man, blessed or happy is the man. That's why we're able to sing and sing conviction. Now none but Christ can satisfy. Another is love and life and everlasting joy. Lord Jesus found, and the Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's not so much our joy in the Lord, it's the Lord's joy in us. It's the Lord's joy. And the Lord is always joyful, even though he's called a man of sorrows and one who's acquainted with grief. Yet the Lord always has joy. And he imparts that joy to us when we know him, when we find ourselves in him through salvation. And that joy, the joy of the Lord, is our strength. So here we have the Messiah. Because the angel of the Lord said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. There's the Messiah. The one that the Old Testament prophets had spoken about, prophesied would come. How he would come suddenly to his temple. By a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel. God with us. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Over in Matthew 1, verse 21, the angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call regarding the Savior, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And there in that verse, Matthew 1, verse 21, we're given the meaning of the name Jesus. It's interpreted for us. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Jesus means Savior. Now the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The word Christ, the name Christ, means anointed. So what do we have? In Jesus Christ, we have the anointed Savior. He's anointed of God. Psalm 45, verse 7, a messianic psalm. God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And the Savior commenced his public ministry in Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he read from Isaiah 61. And he said to the people, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Luke 4, verse 8. 18. So the psalmist tells us that God hath anointed his son with the oil of gladness above his fellows. You recall when David was chosen and Samuel went to the house of Jesse to seek out Israel's king. When he found Samuel, or found David, he anointed him king of Israel. Here's our king. Our king's anointed too. Our king's anointed of God. Our king is anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Paul said in Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. No wonder the angel of the Lord declared unto the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I want to tell you about an anointed Savior. That's what he was saying. A Savior who is Christ, the Lord, is the anointed Savior. And my, if the angels are glad for that message, ought we not to be glad? And glad and glad and glad again. Because in Jesus Christ we have one who is completely prepared and qualified for all the work of our salvation. He is the anointed Savior, the anointed Savior. Does that not fill us with joy unspeakable and full of glory? For he has never, never met a sinner whom he has not been able to save. Never. He has never had a sinner come to him whom he has turned away and said he didn't have the power to save. No. He is fully, completely, entirely ready and able and qualified to carry out the work of salvation in the life and in the heart and in the soul of every sinner who comes and puts their trust in him. He's the anointed Savior. He's never met a soul that he couldn't save. Never met a life that he couldn't change. Never met a blasphemer's tongue that he couldn't purify. He's the anointed Savior. There's none like him. So we have the message that this angel delivered. We have the Messiah. But the angel of the Lord spoke about the manger. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Talk about humility. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The one who made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. And where is he now? He's lying in a manger. Like a helpless babe. That's the humility of Christ. That he descended that long, long ladder of humiliation. from being on the throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father, down and down and down until he appeared as God veiled in flesh and lay in a manger. Made in the likeness of men without sin. Oh, the humility of Christ. But notice carefully exactly what the angels said. 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. In other words, the Savior of men and women can be found. This was a great gospel message this angel preached. He preached the good tidings. And such good tidings brings great joy. He preached the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then he said, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe. Ye shall find the Savior who is Christ the Lord. That is good news. That is good news to sinners. The Lord will not hide himself from sinners. He is able to be found. You can find the Savior. Every seeking soul will find the Savior. Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Acts 17, verse 27, regarding Paul's ministry to the people and the men of Athens. This is what Paul said. That they should seek the Lord. If happily they might feel after him and find him. Though he be not far from every one of us. What a wonderful message for sinners to hear. Down in their sin, condemned already, bound for a lost eternity. They've been told about a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And if they seek him, they will find him. He'll not hide from them. He'll not be hard to find. What did Paul say? And find him, though he be not far from every one of us, and neither he is. Sure, he's only a prayer away. That's how near he is. He's only a prayer away. He is near, not far from every one of us. And as far as the shepherds were concerned, they didn't have far to go. They were in fields outside Bethlehem, and that's where the Lord was. For we read in verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe. So they did find him, as the angel of the Lord promised. Ye shall find the babe. And they went, and they found him. Any sinner can go to the Lord, and they will find him. He'll be there ready to receive them. And as the shepherds went seeking Christ and found him, so sinners tonight can seek Christ and they will find him. That's encouraging. That's good news indeed. So we have considered the appearance of the angel, the announcement from the angel, and then we have the anthem. by the angels. Plural now. I feel it is most interesting that when the angel of the Lord made the announcement about the Savior, it was then at that moment that we read, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Does that not strike you as interesting? That the moment the angel of the Lord mentioned Christ, the moment the angel of the Lord spoke about the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the moment the angel said, he may be found, that's when the heavenly host appeared. Almost in response, as if it was in response to what the angel of the Lord had said about Jesus Christ, they responded by appearing in the heavens and singing and praising God. Here you have, first of all, the multitude. A multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. A multitude. From one angel to a multitude. It was the theme of the message delivered by the angel of the Lord that brought heaven down that night. Brought heaven down. And dear hearer tonight, it is that same theme about the Lord Jesus, the Savior who is Christ the Lord, coming into the world. It is that same theme that ought to lift us up to heaven. It brought heaven down that night, and it ought to lift us up into heaven. Yet why did the host of heaven join the angel of the Lord and begin praising God? I think we can find the answer. I believe we have the answer over in Luke 15. Luke 15. Lord Jesus telling story about the lost coin, the lost silver, and the lost sheep. And the Lord said there in verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Just told the story about the shepherd going out, leaving the 99 sheep and finding the one, coming home rejoiced. The Lord says, likewise, it'll be the same in heaven whenever one soul is found and saved. And then he speaks about the lost silver. But look what he says and how he applies that part of the story there in verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner. Now what does that tell us? That tells us and shows us the interest that angels have in the salvation of souls. It must, because the Lord said there'd be rejoicing in the presence of the angels. So angels are interested in the salvation of souls. And since the whole world is lost in sin, the angels rejoiced in God's goodwill toward men in that he sent his Son into the world to save sinners. That caused the angels to rejoice. When the angel of the Lord announced the good news, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, that's when the host of heaven rejoiced. The angels, of course, knew that the world lay in darkness, in the darkness of sin. But lo and behold, the angel of the Lord was able to make the announcement. The angel of the Lord was able to deliver the message. There's a Savior who will lift men out of the darkness of their sin, who will bring them into the light. And that caused the angels of heaven to rejoice. It shows us the interest that angels have in us. It shows the interest that the angels have in the salvation of souls. We've never thought of it that way before. But when the announcement was made, the host of heaven rejoiced. Multitude of the heavenly host glorified God because the Father, in an act of goodwill toward man, had sent forth his Son to save men and women out of the darkness of their sin. And the angels rejoiced at that. They rejoiced that men and women would not have to remain in the darkness of their sin. They rejoiced that the Savior, which is the Christ, the Lord, had come into the world to save. Doesn't all this show us, again, how much of an interest the angels in heaven have in the salvation of souls? You know, in Mark, in Matthew 4 and verse 11, Matthew 4 and verse 11, at the close of the Lord's temptation in the wilderness, we're told, and the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Then in Luke 22, the Savior agonized in Gethsemane's garden. And in Luke 22, and verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So we see the interest the angels had in Christ, both at the commencement of his ministry and at the close, angels were present. And all who receive Christ as Savior, we are in Christ. So if the angels have an interest in Christ, that means they have an interest in us. And we who are in Christ are given the same attention by the angels as they give to the Lord Jesus. Psalm 91, verse 11. And he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And when the Lord returns, what do we read about the Lord's return? Well, we read in Matthew 24, and the Lord speaking about his return, in verse 30, Matthew 24 and 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. emphasizing again the interest that angels have in the Lord's own people. Because when the Savior returns, he will send his angels to gather us in. The angels rejoiced that a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, had come to rescue and redeem us from our sins. You have the multitude and you have the music. Again, in our text tonight, those two verses, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. My, what an anthem that was. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's the music. Here's something interesting. Following on from the point we've just made about the angels having an interest in the redeeming of God's people. Here we have angels who never sinned. Here we have the holy angels of heaven who didn't fall, and yet they're rejoicing. They are rejoicing that God, in an act of goodwill toward man, has sent forth his Son to redeem the Lord's people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that caused the angels to rejoice. Angels who had never sinned rejoice over Christ coming into the world. You could say, well, the angels really had no reason to rejoice. But they did nevertheless. Because they had an interest in us and in our salvation. Knowing that we were in the darkness of sin, and God sent forth his Son, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, to save us. And the angels rejoiced over that. Listen, if angels, holy angels, had never fallen, rejoice over Christ the Savior, then ought we not to rejoice even more? We ought to rejoice even more than the angels, because we have fallen and we have sinned. And the Lord has saved us. So we have every reason to rejoice. The angels rejoiced in this great news. So why not us? We have more right to rejoice in the God of heaven than even the very angels have. There is singing up in heaven, such as we have never known, where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. Their sweet harps are ever tuneful, and their voices always clear. Oh, that we might be more like them while we serve the Master here. Holy, holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. But I hear another anthem blending voices clear and strong. Unto him that hath redeemed us and has bought us is the song. We have come through tribulation to this land so fair and bright, in a fountain freely flowing. He hath made our garments white. So although I'm not an angel, yet I know that over there I will join a blessed chorus that the angels cannot share. I will sing about my Savior, who upon dark Calvary freely pardoned my transgressions, died to set the sinner free. Holy, holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they must fold their wings. For angels never felt the joys that our salvation brings. If the angels sang and the heavenly host appeared and magnified the God of heaven for his act of goodwill toward us, then how much more should we sing? And should we praise the Lord? Let us indeed be a praising, thankful, joyous people. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Certain men, goodwill toward men. And that's what caused the angels to sing. May we be a singing people too, giving glory to God for giving his Son. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we rejoice. Christ our Savior, Christ our Redeemer, one who was given of the Father to come into the world, a dark world, a world shrouded in the darkness of sin. Oh, Lord, dear Father, we thank thee tonight for the coming of thy Son, the light of the world. We thank thee for him coming and seeking us out. We thank thee for drawing us to himself. We thank thee, Lord, that thou did enable us to find him. And, O Lord God, we're glad today that our sins have been forgiven. The angels of heaven to fold their wings. But the angels in heaven will never know the joy that our salvation brings. Write thy word upon our hearts. May we indeed throughout this week rejoice. And even, Lord, on Friday, when we get together as a family and families, may we give thanks for our Savior coming into the world to save our souls. Praise his name. Lord, as we part the one from the other, grant us, Lord, thy presence as we travel and make our way home. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.